sending your servants, Pastor Sheldon, to be among us to minister your word to us. We pray for your anointing on him and also your anointing on us in our hearts to listen to your word. May everything be into your honor and glory. Amen.
Pastor Ming, thank you so much for the warm welcome that you've given to me. I'm so glad to be here with you. My wife, Sheila, and I are very glad to be worshiping with you. We do attend the CBOQ church just down the street, so we feel connected with you in this way, that's for sure. But certainly more than that, over this past year, I've had a rich connection with your church in being Pastor Yuhua's ordination supervisor over this past year. We have had, Yuhua and I have had delightful conversations about ministry, family. We've shared dinner together at their place and have enjoyed Sally and Yuhua's hospitality. And after, at one point in time, in a conversation with Yuhua expressing my interest in tennis, I have also enjoyed some great tennis with Yuhua as well. So let me say this, with Yuhua, you have a gifted pastor, but also a very athletic pastor too. For me and Yuhua, it's been a great cross-cultural experience also for the both of us to spend time together. Let me say that for me, spending time with Yuhua, it has been something of a reconnaissance mission for me, because I have learned a lot more about Chinese culture, which has been especially helpful for me because in the summer of 2016, so July, not too many months away, my daughter will be marrying a young Chinese man. And when we cross cultures, we learn to see the world in a new way. As Ming has mentioned, I'm the pastor of discipleship and small groups at Mississauga City Baptist Church. I've been serving there for 2 years. I love the multicultural feel of Mississauga and our church. We have 60 different nations worshiping at our church. And at MCBC, Mississauga City Baptist Church, one of my roles is to develop small group ministry at our church by recruiting, equipping, and training our small group leaders. I love this ministry, as I'm convinced it's the foundation for a healthy church. And I am really convinced that discipleship can only take place in the context of community. That's how discipleship takes place. Well, I'm going to be speaking this morning on seeing a new thing, seeing the new thing from Isaiah 43. And when I was talking with Yuhua, he mentioned to me that your theme for the year is taken from Isaiah 40, climbing to a higher peak. And I think that was the word that I thought, and that's just about close with the theme that you have for the year. It's a great reminder that there is a new place that God wants to take us this new year. I'm convinced that God has something more for me this year, and I know that God has something more for you as you stand at the beginning of this Chinese New Year. As you climb to a new peak, you can see what God has for you. And we are connected together because we share a common desire to climb to a higher peak together. What you see is very important. So I have a question for you. As you look at this next picture, which black line is taller? Which one? Logic says that the one at the front must be bigger, but is it? Which line is bigger? Actually, really, both of those black lines, the thick black lines that you see, are the same size. Thinking of the next picture, what do you see here in this picture? Do you see a young woman who is facing the other way, or do you see the image of an older lady? So let me ask you, how many of you see a young woman in that picture? Hands, okay. How many of you see an older lady? Okay, hands. It all depends. Oh, I see you with both hands up. Okay, you're the smart ones there, eh? Okay, next one. Look at the picture here on the left. What do you see? picture on the left, what do you see? A man with glasses or the writing liar? Or look at the picture on the right. What do you see? How many of you see this? How many of you see a woman in that picture? Okay, and how many of you see a man playing a saxophone? Okay, there's a few of you there. What we see with our eyes is not all there is. In marriage, there are times when a husband and wife see things very differently. And the danger is when I declare that my vision is right and my wife's is wrong. Danger. Warning. Sheila and I shared a project painting our family room some years ago. And only after we finished painting it, I was convinced that the wall was green and Sheila was sure it was blue. What color was it? Yeah, blue, you're right. Sometimes we just don't see all there is. And it's true for us also in our spiritual vision. In one gospel story, Jesus said to his disciples, "You have eyes. Can't you see?" Years ago, I learned a prayer that goes something like this. "Lord, let me see this world as though I were looking through your eyes. For if once in my life I could see this world the way that you see it, I just know I'd serve you more faithfully." What I like about that prayer is that it's a prayer for spiritual vision, climbing to a higher peak and then being able to see things rightly, the way that God sees things. And the key scripture verse that I'd like to think about with you this morning is Isaiah 43:19. If you do wish to turn to your scriptures, we're going to work our way through that passage of scripture that was just read to us a little while back. Isaiah 43:19. But the key verse is this. Here is what God is saying. "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it?" What is God saying to his people hundreds of years before the coming of Christ? The people of Israel, here in this scripture reading, they are no longer living in their homeland. They're in captivity in Babylon. They're removed from their homes, and as the years go by, they start to settle down in this strange new land. Jerusalem, their home, is far away. The home walls of their city are destroyed, but what they know is that God has not given up on them. In verse 4, God says to his people, "I love you." He's passionate for his people. And God wants to give us the same message today. Even if you have been removed from your homeland, God's not given up on you. He has something new for you here. So in verses 16 and 17, we read about what God has done in the past. We read about the Lord who has made a way through the sea. And the chariots and the horses lie down and they can't get up. What is this reference to? I think you know. I think it's a reference to one of the greatest memories in Israel's history. It's the exodus of the people from Egypt. So they're looking back and saying, "Do you remember that?" And then in verse 18, God says, "Forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past." What God is trying to say is that what he has done in the past is going to pale to what God will do. Don't just live in the good old days. If the present isn't going very well for us, we might be tempted to start focusing on the past. Just like Miss Havisham from Charles Dickens' novel, Great Expectations. The daughter of a wealthy man, she received a letter on her wedding day at 8:40 a.m. that her husband-to-be was not coming. She stopped all the clocks in the house at the very precise time the letter arrived. She spent the rest of her life living in her bridal dress. It eventually turned yellow. She wore only one shoe because she had not put on the other shoe at the time of the disaster. Even as an old lady, she remained crippled by the weight of that crushing blow. It was as if everything in the room and the house had stopped. She decided to live in her past and not to live in her future. Miss Havisham could not be open to any new thing because she couldn't let go of the old thing. It's an odd story, but you and I know this. It can be a painful process to let go of an old dream in order to be open to something new that God has for us. So God says, don't dwell on the past. Don't forget, I have a new thing for you today. It's as if God is asking you, is your faith in the living God alive and real today? The thing called biblical faith remembers what God has done in the past, but it's always looking to today, where God is at work, and then what he has in our future, because God is always offering something more. God is the one who offers a way out of the pains of the past. I invite you to discern the new thing that God is doing. See, I am doing a new thing, verse 19 says. Now it springs up. God the Creator is at work. Verse 15, I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King. What I find interesting about that word creator, you'd think that word create is found mostly in the book of Genesis, but the word create is actually found more times in Isaiah than it is in Genesis. And it's because of this. God is the creator in the past, but God is wanting to create a new thing in you right now. And one day, God is going to create a new heavens and a new earth. And that's also in Isaiah 65. So the promises of creation are a continual act of what God always wants to do each new day in our lives. We look at the beauty of creation, but we know he is making all things new. And he will, at the end, renew all things. If you're ever struggling in your marriage, then maybe you look back to your wedding day and you think, that was a great day. I just want to get back to that. I want to remember that. I want to focus on that. But God's goal is not to take you back to your wedding day. God's goal is to take you forward to something brand new in your relationship. Maybe you're looking back at a day when your church life, or maybe it was here, maybe it was somewhere else, and it was vibrant and alive. And you think of your friends, or you think of the enthusiasm in the past, but God's goal is not to take you back there. He has something new for you. Maybe you feel like your spiritual life is dry, and you think, I just want to get back to that retreat experience that I had, or that one time that I had that experience with God. But you can't go back there. He has something new for you to discover. God wants to do something new. Maybe you want to get back to a day in the past that was better, and God is saying, just wait for what I have for you. But let me say this. We can't be in control of this. We can't be in charge of this. We can't direct this program because God is the one who is doing the new thing. Notice that God says, I am doing a new thing. It's not, oh, look at this new thing that you are doing. It's God who is saying, I am doing this thing for you. And the second part of verse 19 says, I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. God specializes in making a way through setbacks and disappointments. When you think of traveling through a desert, it's not a very inviting place to travel to. But God makes a way through it. A wasteland is desolate. It's uninviting. But God provides springs. And think of this. In the miracle of the Exodus, God turned the sea into dry land. And now in this new miracle that God is talking about, God provides streams in the wasteland, making it damp in the dry place. Notice that God doesn't repeat the same things. His new miracle is something different. It's not the old miracle that was done before. God says, I'm doing a new thing. Verse 20, the wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The Bible here has the anticipation that the Creator God is going to renovate all of creation. The arid landscape is restored and transformed into a fountain. And the end result is that he cares for his people and that his people might give God the praise. When will God do this new thing? Maybe you're saying, oh, I like this promise, but when is it going to happen? And you're saying, God, I'm waiting. Listen, Lamentations 3:23 says, God's mercies are new every morning. This isn't just a random verse in the Bible. You'll find it in other places as well. If you were to flip over to another verse in Zephaniah, every new day, Zephaniah 3:5, every new day, the Lord does not fail. God promises to send new mercies each new day, including today. Now, this is God's promise. It's not something that I'm inventing or a pastor is inventing. This is God's promise. His mercies are new every morning. He has a new mercy for you today. And where do I find? When do I find it? Well, it's each new morning, but where do I find this new thing? In the New Testament, Paul declares, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. Did you notice this usage of that word new two times in this verse? So I want you to look at your Christian brother or sister sitting beside you. Take a look at them. Look them over. If they are in Christ, they are brand new. Brand new. They are not just an ordinary person. That person sitting beside you, C.S. Lewis has the line that if you could see who that person really is in Christ, and if you could really see the glory of that person, you would be almost tempted to get down and worship. Something improper, of course, but if you could see the glory of that person, there are no ordinary people. Now, think about yourself. Have you put your trust in Christ? Then the seeds of that new creation are in you. Christ is making all things new, including you. Now, isn't this good news? God doesn't need to make another Pastor Ming. We already have one Pastor Ming. And God says, that's good, and that's enough. God doesn't want to create another Pastor Yuhua. But he is ready to do something uniquely new with you. That's what he wants. He wants you to be creatively you, the you that he has designed you to be, because you have a special mission and you are a new creation. That new creation is to be found in you. Now, I want you to think about another part of this verse, Isaiah 43:19. God is doing something new. That is the promise. But then the question is, do you not perceive it? Stop and notice God. God is doing a new thing. But does this mean that if I am not looking, I may not be able to observe it? I think that's the danger. I might just honestly miss the new thing that God is doing. God is the one who's doing it. It's His grace. It's not something we're doing. Isaiah says, it's not my job to make it happen, but it is my job to see what He is doing. I know my temptation. I think there are a lot of times that I don't notice God because I think it all depends on me. If I just work harder, I just need to do a little bit more, and then I can see it. If I can just work harder, I'm tempted to think that I need to do the new thing instead of seeing God do the new thing. It is my job to perceive, to have my eyes open to see what God is doing. I know my temptation in my life. I don't notice God because I get so busy with my own activities that I can't even notice what God is doing. There was a young pastor who approached the seasoned pastor and teacher what he should do to be successful in his ministry. And the teacher, whose name was Dallas Willard, he replied, "You must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. That is how you can see." The pastor wrote this down quickly and said, "Okay, I've got this point. Now what's next?" And the answer was, "You must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life." Is that not why we're gathered here on the first day of the week to say, "I want to be still. There's so many other things that I could be racing to do, but right now I want to be still in God's presence so that I can see God at work around me. And I want to develop this rhythm and this pattern of eliminating hurry from my life, because if I am hurrying and running so fast and so hard, I will never see what God is doing. His creative work is not finished. There is something new that God has for your church. What is God doing? This new season is unlike any other that God has for us. God is leading you to a new day. He's leading us to a new season of learning and growth. What new things then are in store for us? God wants to give us new perspective, new hope, new possibilities, a new community, and a new life, because God's creation is not finished. Remember the Isaiah statement that creation is spoken of even more in Isaiah than it is in Genesis. God's creative act is not finished. Well, maybe some of you are here today and you've never really perceived what God is doing. And in the quietness of this moment, you can tell God this: "Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are offering me a new life. I want to see this world through your eyes. I want to live my days for you." Others of you, or maybe you are thinking about the implications of this teaching. In the book of Acts, an angel of the Lord tells the apostles, "Now it's your job." Acts 5:20. "Tell the people all about this new life." So we're messengers of this new life to other people. We are on a mission. You and I are on a mission designed to creatively live out this new life to our community around us. We are agents of change, informing others of this new life in Christ. That's who we are. Well, here's the question for you and me today. Will we put our trust in God's promises? He's not the God of dusty history books, but He is the one who is doing a new work in our daily struggles. He even wants to use your struggles to do something new. He's the one who promises to do something new in your church at the beginning of this new year. My prayer for us today is that we might have the eyes to see him at work and not to miss out on all of those things that he has to offer us. Amen. Amen. I'm going to invite you to pray with me. Would you pray together with me here? Lord, we thank you today for ancient words of Scripture, ever old, but speaking to us fresh and new today. Lord, forgive us when we get stuck in the past. Forgive us when we think we have seen everything that you are going to do. Forgive us when we think that we're in charge, and if we can just really work hard, then we'll make it happen. Help us to have our eyes open to what you will do. Help us to be your new creation. And Lord, we thank you that if we are in Christ Jesus, then we are a brand new creation. The old has gone. The new is here. So Lord, we thank you that your mercies are new every morning, including today. Guide us as we continue to worship you in these moments. We praise you in Jesus' name.